Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. You know, we were talking about the impact of these lockdowns, these shutdowns, and the toll that's really been taken during this pandemic. I want to introduce you all to somebody who I think you're going to enjoy hearing from. Scott Silverman is a crisis coach, a behavioral health advisor, and is the president and CEO at Confidential Recovery, an intensive substance abuse recovery program for adults 18 years and older. He's done a whole bunch of great work, including writing two best-selling books, has done a TED Talk, and he's been featured on many of the cable news outlets. After 2 years of pandemic isolation, people are ready for some holiday celebration, and this season's going to be challenging because alcohol and drug relapse rates historically spike, and more than 50% of Americans are going to be personally affected by this. Scott's got 37 years of sobriety himself. It is great to have you here, Scott. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Hey, thanks so much for having the topic on your show and helping reduce the stigma by just simply having the conversation that, you know, there is hope, there is help, and things are unfortunately getting worse.
Is it the isolation of the pandemic shutdowns that did this, the uncertainty, the desperation? What is it that's fueled this to the extent that you can know this, Scott?
Well, a couple different things. You know, first of all, it's a perfect storm because most people, you know, either were out of work or weren't going to school or everything was changed. They were at home. The quarantine made it difficult. So there was no socialization as we normally have it. Mm-hmm. And most of the, you know, the outlets that people would take advantage of, you know, between sports or bars, depending upon your preference, mm-hmm. you know, or going to ball games or concerts or whatever it might be, where some of the release took place. You know, I have a saying I like, it's called pressure bust pipes. So I think people's pressure levels were just building and brewing, and those who were, you know, predisposed to self-medicate escalated their issues, and the abuse problem really took off, and the overdose rate really, really increased. But I think another factor is also the counterfeit medication. And that is medication that kids are getting a hold of right now that maybe has Xanax labeled on it, but actually has cut with fentanyl, which causes potential poisoning when an individual takes it, because no one controls that dose at all.
It's really an incredible thing. I've spoken to people in law enforcement who say, you know, it can be as little as two of those grains of fentanyl that can kill your kid, kill an adult. And it's a shame.
Absolutely.
And it's a shame because so much of this, right, is not happening out in the open in front of people. So a kid may be buying drugs online, an adult may be self-medicating, and of course they're not going to sit there and tell their spouse, their family, that this is what they're doing, and they find out when it's too late.
And the accidental overdose, it might be somebody who's at a party, at college, and there's a new thing going around the last couple of years called Skittle parties, where kids will go to parties, and they'll each bring something, put it in a bowl, and at a certain time of the night, you know, the bell rings metaphorically, and everyone goes to the bowl and takes something. Well, the problem with counterfeit medication is some knucklehead may have made it in their garage that day and gotten a hold of some fentanyl, which you can get through the dark web, and you can get it shipped to your home, you know, via USPS. I don't want to give anybody ideas, but I want families to know you really have to be aware, because you might be taking something that you thought might make you feel better, but you're not going to wake up if you overdose.
Absolutely, and it's a compounded tragedy for your family. Obviously, they may not have known that you were ever doing that, and suddenly you're gone and without explanation. When you look at the bigger picture here, have you gotten the sense that the notions of mental health, but specifically when it deals with addictive substances, alcohol, drugs, what have you, has the stigma been diminished in that regard? I mean, I know that over the years, people have taken mental health much more seriously in the last couple of decades. What about people getting treatment for opioid or alcohol or other drug addictions? Has that lost the stigma?
I think that the awareness and the openness and the conversations have gotten to the table. The difficulty is accessing treatment. The difficulty is the proper treatment. The difficulty is getting to someone early enough and encouraging them, because most treatment centers are insurance or benefits driven. Mm-hmm. And it's a $40 billion industry. Wow. And the average person who will go through a 28-day stay on an inpatient program who does nothing else, okay, they have a 95% chance of relapsing over time, according to the science and the studies. So it's a very opaque problem. And if you liken the disease of addiction to, you know, the different things that people get exposed to, for example, you know, diabetes, that's the word I was looking for. Diabetes is a disease. Sure. If you don't treat it, you die.
That's right.
Addiction, you don't treat it, you die. The problem is the last thing that anyone's going to do is treat that. That maladaptive behavior, unfortunately, is seen as some people, for as a moral failing. Therefore, you know, a lot of people still say, well, if you didn't drink, you wouldn't have a drinking problem.
Right.
Well, the person who has the problem doesn't really make a conscious choice. Their mind is telling them, have that drink, have the next drink, have another drink, and keep drinking. So that part of it's really hard. So, for example, when you start to see these shooting galleries that, you know, some of the cities and counties are opening up for people to come in and inject heroin in a safe, sterile environment, the difficulty with that is, clearly, you know, we're trying to find a way to provide harm reduction, but simultaneously, in my opinion, we're enabling people. There was recently a billboard in San Francisco that somebody sent me a picture and said, the billboard basically said, if you're going to go out and party hardy, take a buddy with you so someone's there watching you.
Wow.
And maybe has Narcan in case you overdose. Well, wow. If you're both carrying Narcan and you're both taking the same medication and you both overdose, who's going to help the other person?
Yeah. It's a huge point.
Yeah, there's a lot of desire to help out there right now. But look, 275 people die every single day in this country behind opioids. The CDC just said that we exceeded 100,000 people in one calendar year. I think it was from April to April last year to this year. 100,000. So that's 275 a day. That's a plane crash.
Yep.
If a plane crashed in this country every single day for more than 2 days, you know that no plane would get off the ground, every pilot would take a vacation, and we would get to the bottom of it very, very, very quickly. So, you know, yes, we're making some improvement, you know, especially around mental health, but, you know, the average person who's ill, they're not going to call a crisis hotline.
Right.
It's good. It's great to have them there, and parents can call, and family can call, but at the end of the day, getting that person into treatment, getting them access to an assessment and to the professionals, it's not an easy chore. Because most people aren't going to raise their hand and go, hey, I got a drinking problem.
That's right.
I suffer from depression. I think I want to kill myself. Is there any way I can get help?
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually ever heard or seen that, and I've been around the industry for decades.
Where do people go, Scott, to get more information on what it is you're up to? Maybe reach out to you to get more information.
You know, they can call me directly at 619-993-2738. 619-993-2738. I give my phone number out. People think I'm crazy, but you know what? If I get a strange number in my phone, that means I may have a chance to talk to somebody and not go to a funeral. They can go to my website, yourcrisiscoach.com. They can Google Scott H. Silverman anywhere on social media. They can call their local municipality. Every major community has a website, behavioral health website, alcohol and drug website, where you can go. And every major metropolitan community has a number 211, which is a central line, usually funded by the county and the private sector together, and government money. So they're always staffed, and they have multiple languages that they can speak. So there's no excuse, in my opinion, because there's always help and there's always hope. Just go online in your community. If you don't want to call me, if you want to call me, that's fine. I'm happy to chat with you and we'll help navigate. And I don't care where you are in the world. Just talked with some people in Australia the other day and they've got some major issues because you know, everybody wants to mirror what they do in America because they think it's cool. And you know, at the end of the day, again, there is hope and help and I hope they call.
Scott Silverman, bless you, man. And I appreciate talking to you. And let's get together again soon.
Anytime. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Oh, happy holidays. Yeah, happy holidays. Absolutely. That's Scott Silverman. A lot to think about there. A lot to unpack there.